Psalm 119. We're just going to look at one verse this morning to get started. Yesterday, our country turned 244 years old. And I'm ever so thankful to be a citizen of the United States of America. I'm very thankful to be able to call myself an American. I'm blessed for that. I thank God for that. We're blessed with so many liberties. In my lifetime, I can't even begin to tell you how many sermons I've heard. Can't begin to tell you how many times I've heard the importance of praying for our country, and preachers have implored us to do so my entire life. And I have done so according to the Word of God as it teaches. I believe we should pray. But I am burdened more for our nation than in my life I've ever been before. Our nation is in trouble. I do not worship the United States of America. I worship God. I'm thankful for the country that God has placed me in. We've enjoyed many liberties. As a Christian, we should be burdened for this country. Any citizen should be concerned for their country. This nation was founded upon liberty. That word's important. The word means something. We've enjoyed those liberties for quite some time. The freedom to assemble. I'm thankful for that liberty. The freedom of speech. The freedom of exercising our religion. The freedom to a speedy trial, the freedom of the press, the freedom to bear arms, the freedom that we don't have to house soldiers, an unreasonable search and seizure. And I could go on and on and on and talk all day about the liberties that we've been blessed with. We have been very blessed with these liberties. This country has thrived under these liberties. This country has prospered under these liberties. The liberty that we have enjoyed in a capitalistic economy has built the greatest economy the world's ever seen. We've been very blessed. Evangelism has prospered with these liberties. The freedom to share the Word of God, the freedom to go out and to speak of God, and for people to have the choice to choose to worship the Lord. That's something the Baptists have stood for forever, as long as there have been, and so we're thankful for those freedoms. But all the liberties that I have talked about, and the so many that I have not even mentioned this morning, are being threatened. They're being threatened, not by a movement, not by politicians, not by criminals, but you'll see it in this verse. In Psalm 119 and in verse number 45, Psalm 119 verse 45 says this, I will walk at liberty, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Liberties are being threatened. Liberty is enjoyed in an environment that seeks to honor this book. And I just said a moment ago, there's not a movement. I know there's all kinds of movements going on. None of those are threatening our liberties. That's not the reason. I know there's politicians that seem to be going against a lot of these liberties. They are not the reason. There are thieves and criminals and evil people out there. But the fact is this, our liberties are threatened today because for quite some time, this book and God has been pushed aside. And churches have sat silent while it's happened. Only in a land, again, I did not say that everybody in this country has been believers. It's never been, never probably will. I did not say that, you know, the United States of America was a Baptist country. That's never been, never will. But there is an honor. There is a respect. The laws that we have enjoyed had a principle behind them. That's why, and I know there's a big push, and has been for quite a while now, to remove any reference to God in our monuments and in our buildings and the Supreme Court and in front of our legislative halls and judges and courts. And they want all these things removed. And everybody wants to argue about it. And people want to say, well, you know, separation of church and state, that's not what our forefathers had intended. Can I tell you something? It was your forefathers that put them there. I do not say that your forefathers all obeyed the Ten Commandments and followed and were believers. But there is a respect for the Word of God. There is respect for the principles of God. There is respect for what the Bible teaches. And it is those principles and those precepts that gave us liberty, that gave us freedoms. And the more that we get away from that, the more issues we have had. For years, there was a desire to honor, to keep, to oblige, to at least keep in front of us these principles that are found in the Word of God. I love to teach history. As a history teacher, I could stand up here and bore you all to death, I'm sure, and giving you, you know, all the laws and the precepts and the way we do things in our nation and the biblical principles of why we do them. I mean, I could go on and on and on, from the court system to the legislation to everything to the different laws that we have. For a great majority of those that have been there for a long time, there's some biblical principles behind them. But for quite a while now, this nation has gone further and further and further away from this book. Right. And with it, liberties begin to disappear. And it's not just our nation. The same principle applies for you and I. The more that we get away from this book, the more that we turn our ear away from the Word of God, the more that we do not want to follow the Word of God, our liberties and our life begin to dissipate as well. You and I will soon find ourselves in bondage. You and I will soon find ourselves most miserable. Because the more we get away from God, the more liberty we lose. Isn't it sad how the devil tries to convince us the other way? The devil has a world convinced that Christ brings bondage. Matter of fact, it's one of the things that the Bible teaches, that in the last days that the world is going to say we have to release ourselves from the bondage of religion, the bondage of Christ, the bondage of the Word of God. This book sets us free. This book gives us liberty. This book gives us all these freedoms that we have enjoyed so much. This book is behind those things, and we should be thankful for that. But when children turn away from the Word of God, when students turn away from the Word of God, when citizens turn away from the Word of God, we begin to lose those. I am not in any way, do not get me wrong, I'm not one of those that are trying to usher in some Christian kingdom. I do not want that. That is not my job, and that's not God's plan. But the fact is this, nation has been blessed because it kept the precepts of God before them. And the liberties that we see disappearing is a result of two things. Number one, a church being silent. And number two, a nation turning their back on this word. The Bible says very clearly, if you want to glance over it with me, keep something right there, in John chapter number 8 and verse 32, and you know these verses, probably can quote it. But in John chapter number 8 and in verse number 32, Brother Ben, in just a moment, if you don't care to put Proverbs 14:34 on the screen for us. But in John chapter number 8 and in verse number 32, Jesus said these words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you," what's the next word?
Free.
This book gives freedom. This book gives liberty. And the more that we as God's people, the more that we as families, the more as we individuals and citizens of this country, the more that we look to the Word of God and follow the basic precepts. And again, don't understand, you know, that murder's wrong. Stealing is wrong. That certain sins are sins. When the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. But now there's legislation saying that no, a certain lifestyle is fine, or a certain way is fine, or this or that. I don't care what law is passed, let God be true and every man a liar. But the more we get away from this book, liberty disappears. I know I'm being real simple today, but that's just a fact. And it's time that we as a church understand something. Wait a second. This nation's been blessed because there have been an understanding, some basic precepts that has given these liberties. And as we as a church, unfortunately, I'm not talking about just Cazado Baptist Temple, but as God's churches have sat silent and just entertained ourselves to death, this world has turned its back upon God. This nation has turned away from the precepts of God's word. And with it goes liberty. And then we as Christians scratch our head and wonder, what is going on? It's time we open our mouth again. And preach truth. Proverbs 14 and verse 34 simply says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Now again, God's not saying that he wants everyone in a nation has to be, saved. No, but there's a certain life, a certain understanding that when righteousness is promoted, it exalts a nation. When obeying the precepts of God's word is something we follow, it exalts a nation. It lifts up a nation. Throw that verse back up there, Brother Susan, if you don't care. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. If he gets it up there, it'll be all right, right? Sin is a reproach. What's reproach? Something you can't stand to look at. Something that you have to turn away from. Something that is disorganized, leaves a bad taste, torn down, unproductive, hated. I'm not doom and gloom, I'm not. And I'm going to do my best to point to the truth today. I'm just trying to open our eyes a little bit. The more that this nation is turned away from the precepts of God, the more the liberties are removed, and the nation will become a reproach. Amen. At one time, everyone across this world, this globe, would have loved to be in this country. It was respected. It gave opportunity. But as time goes on, the more and more around this globe, this nation's getting the reputation of being a reproach. Even our own citizens are burning flags and marching and hating and wanting to change everything about it. Now, I'm not being political today. I'm just being biblical. That's what the Bible says. That you will see these things happen. As sin is welcomed. I'm thankful for this country. I'm thankful for the 244 years that we as a nation have enjoyed. I'm thankful for my 44 years that I've enjoyed in this country. I have been blessed, and you have been blessed. I am thankful for everyone who fought to give us the freedoms that we have. But understand this. It's not guaranteed tomorrow. And if we're looking to politicians to save us, it ain't going to work. If we're hoping a law gets passed that will rescue the country, it ain't going to happen. If we're hoping a different political leader gets in place that's going to lead us out of this, it ain't going to happen. It's God's people getting back to God's book and a nation having a respect for the Word of God. Because with it comes this word, back in our text, liberty. Freedom. To enjoy liberty. Again, as I said, I don't worship America, but I do hurt for her today. And every one of us should too. I see the liberties that we've enjoyed for 240 plus years beginning to disappear. And we as a church dare not to sit silent. And by that, I do not mean we go protest Washington. When I say that we should, as a church, be remain silent, what I mean is this: we need to talk to our neighbors. Amen. We need to get to know the person that lives down the street. Build relationships with people that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Back in our text, just follow with me real quick. I want you to understand, and I've already preached it, the secret of liberty. The secret of liberty, as it says in Psalm 119, verse 45, is seeking thy precepts. The secret to liberty is respect for the Word of God. The secret of liberty is having an understanding that the principles taught in this book give liberty and they work. But I want to give you the scope of liberty. The scope of liberty. Understand here, it says here, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will walk at liberty. Liberty here is a goal that we should want. We should be walking towards this. We should desire this liberty. And that we get it by following the principles found in the Word of God. And why is all this true? Now's when we take a step back and we get the message. Why is this verse here? Why has this nation been blessed? Why are we sitting here today in this church? Because there's a principle here that we have to understand. That number one, sin dominates. The opposite of liberty is being dominated by a dictator. Dominated by a certain life. And there are plenty of countries out there today that have no idea what liberty is. There are nations out there today, and I'll never forget, you know, when I first was able to visit Hungary there, when the Christensens were there, you know, and I met some of the folks at the church there, and they just loved the Bible. They loved coming to church. It was still so fresh to them, even though they'd enjoyed it for quite some time. But many of the members there at that church there, they still look back and they would tell the stories how people would, they just disappear in the back of a car. Never to be seen again. That anyone who would speak the name of Christ had to do it secretly. And the fact that they could walk down the street with a Bible in their hand and go to church and sing and then fellowship afterwards, it was such a blessing to them because they had lived in a nation for a long time that did not have those things. We're spoiled. We just think it's, you know, always going to be there. But understand this, that sin dominates. Christ sets free. This book sets free. But sin will take control of your life. Sin will dominate your life. And many of us, let's just speak spiritually this morning, that's how we were living. All of us. We were living a life controlled by sin. You'd say, I wasn't controlled by anything. Yes, you were. No one had to train you how to do wrong. Sin had control of you. No one had to teach you how to lie and steal. Sin dominated you. Sin had control of your life as it did mine. Because that's what sin does. Sin hovers over us. Sin condemns us. The Bible says in John chapter number 3, you don't have to do anything. You're born in your sin and you're born living under condemnation. The wrath of God already abides on you. You see, sin's dark cloud hovered over us. We were born with this sinful nature. We were born condemned. We were born there, controlled by sin. Bible says that Jesus looked at a group and said, you're of your father, the devil. That's what had us. We were trapped. You see, sin dominates. And sin has a destination. In Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 14, Revelation 20, it says there that they were all those who are not, their names are not found in the book of life will be cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, where sin will take you is that lake of fire. It controls you. It dominates you. In Romans chapter number 6, look at that verse with me real quick. In Romans chapter number 6 this morning, Romans 6 and in verse number 12, In Romans 6 and verse number 12, if you're saved today, number one, let's rejoice a little bit. If you're saved today, say amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be saved? And in Romans chapter number 6, look in verse, let's start reading in verse number 10. All right, Romans 6 and verse number 10. It says this, let's go to verse 9 is great. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. He conquered death. Amen. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We, when we got saved, were set free from this sin. But I'm looking at believers today to give you a warning, just as it says here in the Word of God in verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Do you know, even as a believer, sin can dominate you? It will not condemn you. Praise the Lord for that. But if we don't, as the next few verses say, yield our members to, as members of righteousness, in other words, take this book and follow this book, sin will begin dominant our life again. You can be a believer today, and I'm just being just as blunt as I can. You can be a believer today and be addicted to sin. I hate it, but you can. You can be on your way to heaven today, but allow yourself to drift back into this world where Christ sets you free. You don't have to. But sin can get a hold of you. And there are some sitting in the auditorium this morning, no doubt, have this many people sitting in the auditorium, that there are some here today, no doubt, that sin, you've allowed sin. You've already been set free because Christ set you free from this. When he died, he paid for your sins in full. When he rose again, he promised this new life. It's all yours. But to be a believer and bound by sin is because you've chosen to place yourself under that bondage. What a tragedy. You say, why would anybody do it? They love sin. They don't have a walk with God. And the same thing happens in our nation. We've enjoyed the liberties, but what has happened? We forgot. When you forget the great price that has been paid, when you forget, well, who all went before? You know why? If we kept before us that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for our sins and all that Jesus went through so that we could have this liberty, we dare not. Why would we want to go back in that? The Bible says as a dog returns to its vomit, it should make us sick to go back to our sin. But yet many do it because we don't keep in front of us the great price that was paid for our salvation. If we keep that in front of us, as this verse says here, knowing that Christ, he died for our sins, he rose again, and all that he did for us, and then it says there in verse number 11, likewise reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, when we keep what Christ did for us in front of us, we would say, no, I don't want to go back under that bondage. I will yield my members as members of righteousness. I want to serve God when we keep the great sacrifice in front of us. This nation has forgotten all that has been poured out and paid for our liberties. And thus it returns and now is going back and losing its liberties. But this isn't a political message. That's what Christians do. We forget what all Christ has done for us. And all of a sudden we find ourselves dominated by sin. As simple as a lie. And I'm tempted to lie if I remind myself, wait a second, Christ was smacked in the face, crown of thorns upon his head, as was just saying beautifully, his life for mine. He gave himself and suffered and bled and died for my sin. Why would I want to lie? Why would I want to just do one more wrong? But when I keep him in front of me and keep looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, it keeps me on that right path. And I enjoy the liberties. I'm not bound by sin. But see, sin dominates, and sin is the destination of hell. But then sin destroys. Most of you know Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23. The wages of sin is what? Yeah. Every time. Every time. To the lost today, if you're not sure you're saved today, I want you to look at me and give me these next few minutes. If you're not saved today, if you say, preacher, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. You and I, we're sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I sinned, you have sinned. We've all, the Bible says, come short of the glory of God. We're not perfect. And if you look around here and say, oh, these Christians, bunch of perfect people. No one's perfect in here. We've all sinned. The Bible says the wages of my sin is death. What I deserve is death. That death is talked about again in Revelation. It's the second death. It's the lake of fire. I deserve hell. And so do you. That's what sin does. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We deserve death, and unfortunately we have no hope if it weren't for Jesus. God's Son came here to this world to die for our sins, because he's the only one who could die for our sins. Understand this, that every one of us in this world have the same issue. As much as I love Brother Sweetland sitting over there, and I believe Brother Sweetland loves me, the fact is this, I can't pay for his sins because I'm just as big a mess as he is. And he can't pay for my sins. But Jesus is perfect. He is the Son of God. He is righteous. He came to this world, and he is the only one who is eligible that has ever been on this world to die for our sins. And he did so. He suffered. All of the wrath of God that abided on all of us was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In that moment on the cross, when the Bible says that God the Father had to turn his back on his Son, he who knew no sin became sin for us. God turned the lights out on the world because man could not bear to see what Jesus went through on the cross for you and I. It's the only time ever in all of eternity that the relationship of the Father and Son was broken. It's the only time that ever the Lord Jesus did not refer to him as Father, but he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And any time Jesus ever asks a question, it's not because he's seeking knowledge. He's teaching us a very important lesson. And at that moment, when God had to turn his back on his Son, Jesus became sin for us. All of our sin was cast upon him. He paid for our sin debt. And that's why he lifted up his head and said, it is finished. Salvation's plan was fulfilled. Amen. Jesus died for our sins. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life, to show that death did not win. 3 days later, Jesus arose from the grave. He arose from the grave showing that he conquered death. He not only paid for our sin, but he conquered the penalty of death. Death did not win. Jesus did. And now he offers to us the gift of eternal life that we receive. When I was 14 years old, everybody look at me a second. When I was 14 years old, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that Christ died for me. I knew that he rose again. I knew so many things. But at that moment, I knew God convicted my heart. I bowed my head with my Father. He showed me some verses. I don't remember what he showed me. I know he showed me the truth. I know I prayed. I have no idea what I prayed that day. Because those things, I had that knowledge. But I made a choice that day to say, yes, I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. And the Lord saved my soul. He gave me the gift of eternal life. That sin, when Jesus on the cross, he became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He exchanged my sin for his righteousness. What a blessing. And now, all that sin demanded, all that how sin controlled me, sin was leading me through this life, and had I not made that decision, I would have died and gone to hell. Sin just taking me. But that day, when I received the gift of eternal life, God set me free. I was bound, but I was set free. I was condemned, but I was given life. The righteousness of God. You see, salvation is God's gift, and it sets us free from the curse of sin, from the domination of sin, from the destination of sin. It sets us free from all of those things. If you're saved, that's why we ought to rejoice today, that Christ has set us free. A verse we posted yesterday, stand fast in the liberties wherewith Christ has set you free. We should be thankful today that we're not controlled by sin. Thankful today we're not dominated by sin. Why? Because we took this book and said it's true. It's true, I believe it. So as a person today, I ask you, have you been set free from the curse of sin? Then to all believers today, don't allow sin to dominate you once more. You don't have to. You've been set free. As an American citizen today, praise the Lord for the liberties that we've enjoyed. But don't scratch your head today and wonder, what is going on? The more we turn away from this book, and it's not been happening in 2020. What a year, right? But all of this didn't happen this year. It's when sin is promoted. And what is wrong is being called right, and what is right is being called wrong. When murder is made legal. When what God says are abominations is being promoted as, and flags hung up across the nation. That's why liberties are disappearing. And we have to understand that only when we walk after these precepts do we get to enjoy the liberties promised therein. I give you one last thought, the secret of liberty, the scope of liberty. But I want you to see, as we as believers, no matter what goes on in this country, I don't know what the rest of the year holds or the next 10 years hold. I do not know. But I know this, that I am God's child. And I know this, that my destination is forever with Him. And I know this, that all that God has for me is peace and joy. And that awaits me one day. And so we see here the song of liberty. Look back in your text and we'll be done. In verse number 45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Look what he says. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. I just wrote down next to these verses. In verse 46, we need to shout it. Verse 47, sing it. And in verse 48, we need to share it. We as Christians today need to take all the liberty that God's given us and lift up our voice today and lift up this book today and say, it's all because of God. And if you want this life of liberty, look to Him. Liberty. It's on all your currency. It's in your creed, your pledges. It's something we, quite frankly, as Americans, we've taken for granted. And those liberties cannot be promised in a culture that doesn't seek this. But I'm thankful that my liberty is not contingent upon what the nation believes. My liberty is found in this book and in Christ. And today, if you're lost, I beg you today, come receive the gift that Jesus Christ offers to you today. As a believer, I encourage you today, don't go back and put yourself in the bondage of sin. You've been set free. As a citizen today, pray that this nation again, for whatever brief time, might look back to this book. I hear many people, I know, and I preached it a couple weeks ago. The last days are going to get worse and worse. But as long as there are God's people, as long as there is this book, and as long as there is the Holy Spirit, God's still at work. Amen. So let's let God use us. It'd be a great day today to stop. If you say, well, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm walking in liberty. Amen. Amen. It'd be a great day to stop this morning and bow and ask God, help our country. This nation's in trouble. It's in trouble. And we as Christians have the answer in our hand. It's right here. That's what the book says. For I walk after thy precepts. There's liberty. Let's share it. Let's share it. Father, Lord,